eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I've never done good in a professional mud race in my career. I'm happy to come away with a win.
Yeah, that might have been dumb luck. It did drop, but I just went back to the red plate where we belong.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm your host, Ricky Carmichael, along with my co-host, Ryan Villopoto. Hopefully everyone's doing well. Before we get going, we got to thank our great partners, as always. And we have a new one this week. But let's thank United Motorsports. We appreciate you guys. Quad Lock Case, Boxo USA, and then our new partner, Dunlop Tires. Best tires in the business. Hard work and crew. They test, work hard. Best tire, like I said, in the paddock, in my opinion. And we're happy to have you on board. And along for the ride, they're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff, a lot of engagement throughout the season of Title 24. So we're excited to bring them on board, and we're going to have some good fun. So we'll have more details about that. But nevertheless, exciting weekend, RV, a wet weekend, that is. It always is a bummer. But, dude, we're going to just get into right off the top the Quad Lock question of the week. This week, because it was such a hot topic. And the Quad Lock question of the week comes from Brad A-U456. And Brad asks, should Supercross be indoors under the roof? Question mark. That shiz racing to sell to the world. Leave outdoors to motocross.
So I'm assuming what he's meaning is leave the mud races, leave the nasty conditions to the outdoors. You know, we were talking, Ricky, previously, right before we started recording. This is what makes Supercross and motocross and our sport in general so gnarly to stay in it for the long haul, to win a Supercross championship in the lights or in the 250 class or in the 450 class. To finish 17 rounds, let's talk 450 right now. Let's to finish 17 rounds, and then three SMX rounds at the end of, you know, out of a long season. And when you have conditions like this, that's why this is such a prestigious and such a gnarly series to go out and perform and in the end stand on top of the box, whoever that's going to be. That's why it's so prestigious.
Yeah, Brad, I appreciate that. I understand what you're saying. I feel like RV, you explained it perfectly. I don't even need to elaborate on it. I think also what a lot of people don't understand is like logistics, you know, availability. It's so hard to race on the East Coast at the beginning of the year because of the football. You got NFL, you got playoffs, college for that matter, playoffs now, and that's going to continue to grow. And historically, obviously, the West Coast is a much drier climate than the East Coast. The weather's a little bit better. I know what people are going to say. Well, San Francisco, it's always raining. Yeah, of course it is. But inherently, you know, like it is a drier climate out there than the East Coast. And I go back to, like I said, logistics, availability. You know, there's a lot of other things at play that I don't believe that people may not know or take into consideration. Brad, I'm with you. Like, does it look pretty? Does it look sexy? Mud races on TV? No, it doesn't. I mean, I'm bummed that it it's that way sometimes. But to RV's point, you know, this is part of the sport. This is what is exciting about it. This is what makes it gnarly. I think that some people, even if you've never watched Supercross, I think that you can, it's kind of eye-catching. And you're like, man, what are these guys doing? That's brutal. And I give you an example. I have people in town that watch this stuff, have been watching it for the last 3 years, and they're beginner to novice spectators, and they're texting me, RV. They're like, dude, that's unbelievable. Like, I feel bad for those guys, or that has to be right. That has to be gnarly. But this is Supercross. This is motocross. And you can't just have all Supercross indoors. I mean, yes, well, at times I think that would be convenient. But at the same time, I think there needs, you know, it is what it is. It's the product. It's the product, and you move on.
To be honest, if you go back and look, I mean, we've been very, very fortunate. I think at East Rutherford last year was kind of a mud race, or was a mud race-ish. It wasn't like San Fran this last weekend. San Fran was much more, much worse, much more treacherous. But we've been pretty, pretty lucky in the last few years where we haven't had a legit mud race. So it's par for the course. We're going to have those races that are going to be muddy, that are going to be a total blowout. But like you said, it isn't sexy to go out and race in that. Half the time you can't see who the riders are. Thank goodness for the transponders. Logistics of getting, you know, every team, every flight, hotels, Dirtworks crew, locking down all the stadiums, like you said, amongst, let's be honest, probably bigger sports than we are, football, you know? So we got to kind of fit into that. And when we get those opening spots, you know, there's no moving it. It is what it is. And that's why it's so prestigious to win a Supercross title.
Yep. 100%. RV, great, great insight there, Brad. Thank you for the question. I understand your frustration, but, outside of what RV and what he said about it, you know, there's also, like we said, logistics, availability. So we appreciate that question. And the reason that Brad, you win the quad lock question of the week, because that's going to get us into what a lot of the questions in the fan interaction was about on Title 24. We appreciate all your guys' engagement. So that's why you win. You know what to do. Go to the Title 24 Instagram page, the direct message. JH will get you in contact with Quadlock. At the same time, check out quadlockcase.com. They got everything you need, from cases, chargers, mounts. We talk about it every week. I think the easiest thing for you to do is go check out their website, and you can pick whatever you may need. That gets us into the other questions. So Savannah Leach 94 asks, what skills are more beneficial to have to survive during a mud race versus a regular race? Go for it, RV. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if I'm a good guy to answer this. I wasn't super awesome in the mud. But I did get to watch some of the pre-race on Peacock and the broadcast of listening to some of the guys and their mentality and the way they were coming into the weekend in that mud race. So yeah, it a lot of it is attitude. And I think it's also a little bit different. I'm going to be honest. When I came into mud races, I was always a championship contender. And I think the mentality of a championship contender coming into a mud race, I think as much as it has way more weight on the championship contender's shoulders because there's so much more that can happen, from bike failures to mistakes, mishaps that you've done on your own. You go down, you get your grips all muddy, goggles fail, bikes potentially can fail. So it is a survival of the fittest. So I think mentality coming into that thing, coming into these mud races, to, you know, knowing that anything can happen, but also trying to ride as free and as much fun as you can. I was never one of those guys that could do that. I dreaded it. As soon as it was going to be a real mud race, I wasn't stoked. What do we have here? This looks like 06 San Fran.
Is it?
I think so. I think that's me. I pulled the whole shot.
There you go.
Young, dumb, right here, tried to jump the finish line, put her in the dirt, and that was kind of my race. I think.
Dude, look how big your lead was already.
I know. I think Ramsey ended up winning that race in 06. Mm-hmm. You raced that race also, RC. How do you think it compared? That one looked like pretty treacherous now that
it was treacherous. Yeah, I think it was treacherous. Maybe the dirt, the mud got a little thicker this weekend compared to 2006. It's hard to tell. I do know that 2006 was gnarly. That's for sure. I mean, it like just looking at it and you kind of look at the ruts there kind of in the background, it still looks pretty brutal. Maybe the rhythm lanes weren't as long, so that made it a tad easier. But I want to bring up something that's really important of what you said, RV, and our listeners, whether you watch us on YouTube or Peacock or you listen on our podcast. RV said something that's super important. He talked about him being a championship guy and how he approaches the mud races, and it kind of segues to what Savannah Leach 94 asked, you know, what's more beneficial, the mentality or the mental side of things. RV was a championship guy, and I think a lot of championship guys approach a mud race to just go out there and make all of the laps, preserve your bike to the end, and stack as many points, accumulate as many points as possible. If the win is there, of course, we all want to win. But I think, at least for me, I was always like AV. I'm like, big picture here, big picture. I'm not like winning isn't even a thought. Mm-hmm. I just want to go out there and do the best that I can. Try to get the whole shot. If not, take it one lap at a time, and whatever I get, just make sure that I finish and let the race come to me and don't crash. And it's all, you know, the mental side of things. I think if you're not a championship guy, then I think you can throw caution to the wind, and that's almost like your opportunity to go out. Yes. It's like an equal, right? The mud races are like an equalizer. And I think that was kind of the same thing for like Prado. If I was Prado, I would have been pumped. Speeds were going to be a bit slower. You're used to riding in this condition, and it is an equalizer. So RV bringing up some really good, that was good stuff that you talked about, RV. Yeah. Next question is D-P-Gill 23. This person asks, in muddy conditions, is it tougher mentally or physically? RV, I personally feel like mentally it wasn't that tough because you're not going that fast. And the reason that I think that it wasn't as mentally tough because I was so worried about not crashing and muscling the bike around physically that I felt like it was tougher that way. Mm. You know, I feel like mud races, like I said, were tougher physically. How about
for you? Yeah. I think once the gate drops at that point, then you're just dealing with survival, and the bikes get much heavier. And if you do put that sucker on the ground, now your grips are dirty and your gloves are wet.
Right.
You don't have the strength in your hands. Even if you have the strength, you don't have the grip. And I'll bring it up too. I was just watching when you put your goggles on, on the line there in 06, like, we haven't had a lot of advancements, let's say for mud conditions, other than, you know, like we would use skid plate foam for kind of tape it on top of the helmet. But now they have actually some really cool, I guess like a bra that goes over the helmet. They have double sided sticky tape foam that's really thin now. Mm-hmm. And the main thing where I was going with this was you had the original Oakley, but your, what was it? The frame you wore.
O frame.
That's now, guys, the strip of film on these goggles in 06 was very, I mean, the strips now that our racers are racing with are basically double the width. You know, you have double the width. So we were down here. Now it's this much, you know, it's much wider. So
like
I think
basically like 4 millimeters, imagine like 4 millimeters in our day, RV and I day. And then now to Ryan's point, it's like 8 mil.
Yeah, exactly. So it's double the size. And a lot of that has to do with the frame, mm-hmm. you know, how they've designed these goggles now, which is huge. You know, I think that is one thing that if nothing's really changed in the mud racing other than those two things, stuff for the helmet and the goggles. And goggles is the biggest thing, right? I know I'd heard somebody talking, are we going to see guys wear doubling up goggles? Because I know I've seen that in the past where you put your originals or put your first set on and then you put your second set on just for the start as you watched everybody coming down the start line there. And as soon as you get blasted with the water, a lot of times water goes behind the film, goes behind your tear-offs, regardless if you have 20 tear-offs left on your goggles. If water gets behind the base tear-off, you're kind of screwed there. It kind of ruins your whole set of goggles.
Mickey's underscore D. Is there an effective way to train for races like this past weekend? Question mark. Or just send it? Question mark. What do you think?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that you can't ride cautious in the mud. Yeah. I think you have to kind of attack the track and push through those that muddy condition. But also too, there is guys that East Coast guys, Brock Kepler, for example, that I used to race against, spent a lot of time kind of riding that slippery clay, material. And sure, he was one of the better mud riders. So I think if you grew up kind of riding the mud, occasionally, it's not something people go out and chase after because it's very hard on your equipment. I mean, you'll roach a bike in a couple mud practices, let alone a race like this. Guys, these mechanics are going to go back and tear every nut and bolt apart off that motorcycle. Yeah. So it's very hard on equipment. So it's kind of what you grew up into. My parents didn't have the funds, the resources and the funds to just go out and destroy motorcycles in the mud at the time.
RV, did you, once you turned pro, did you ever practice in the mud when you had the resources, you had the facility, when it was completely, so if the people who's watching the broadcast this week, we showed a clip of, Garrett Marchbanks at club, riding in an absolute downpour. Did you ever train in those conditions?
Once I was pro, yes, I spent a little bit of time in Michigan with Nick, and was able to get some of those conditions. But like I said, it's maybe one day a week, every couple months. Once I moved to 450 and had my own place in Florida, you would see, hey, Eldon would be out there. We'd start a moto and here comes the clouds rolling in and it just would dump on you. Back to that though, my facility was quite a bit of sand in it. So it really didn't, I mean, it would have, if you had 42 bikes on the track, it would have gotten really kind of nasty and muddy, but we had three bikes on the track. So, yes, you need to ride those conditions to a certain extent. But yeah, there's really no training for it, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good question that I appreciate you, Mickey's underscore D. Because I get asked that often. You probably do too. And I always tell everyone, like, and this is the God's honest truth, is I never really practiced in the mud like an absolute monsoon. Did I practice when it was sloppy and all that? Of course I did, but you could still jump all the obstacles and that. But like downpours, maybe.
Going out on the track to roll your supercross track and say, hey, I'm getting my mud practice in now. It's just, we see it once or twice a year, right? So it's not something, I think that you got to ride sloppy conditions, but it's not something we go after.
Yeah, 100%. And I was always worried too. Well, number one, I was like, "Oh, sweet, it rained today. I get a break." But at the same time, I think when you get to a certain level, like we have so much experience being in those situations that you don't. That's another reason you don't have to do it. And quite frankly, I was scared to like hurt myself. You know, you raise the risk of, you know, putting your knee down, maybe you pop an ACL. I mean, the risk isn't worth the reward. So, going back to the quad lock question of the week, Brad A-U 456. Appreciate your question. Try to be a little more positive. I know you don't like, I know you didn't like what it looked like on TV, but still, I'm sure you appreciate these guys' talents and how they're able to muscle around these motorcycles. So we appreciate you. Everyone check out quad lock. All right, moving along. Dude, Chase Sexton gets his first win of the season. I mean, he looked really, really good all day, even when the first practice. These guys only had one practice earlier in the day, and then they canceled the second practice, and he just looked comfortable. Do you think that he's the new favorite? Do you think this gives him a boost in the arm? What's your thoughts based on the win in the mud?
I mean, I think it's a huge accomplishment for himself on the new motorcycle, new team. I don't think there was a lot of questions answered. It wasn't dry, right? It was a survival of the fittest. And he was the fittest and survived it the best and was standing on top of the podium. I think it's a really good momentum booster for him. I think that you could see the excitement. You could see getting that first win, knocking it off. Obviously, it was in the mud. Yep. I don't want to say there's a little question mark there, but there is a little question mark there. But I think this is kind of the kick in the butt that he kind of needed to come back here at this next round here. I think it's San Diego, correct?
Yeah. San Diego this weekend, Snapdragon Stadium. So
I think it's good momentum for him. I think it's a good totally. Start to build off. It's only round two, right? He gets a first win on the new bike, new team. And yeah. I think that's really good momentum for him. I think that's going to put his trajectory where it needs to be. And I'm hoping to see at round three at San Diego that he's going to be that much closer, if not fighting for wins.
Well, it's crazy that I love that you're bringing it. You're so on par right now. You didn't need to say anything. So this brings me to the next thing is you talk about that momentum. I had heard some rumblings hey, maybe they had found something this last week. But we have some sound for you guys about Chase feeling better about the bike and where he's at. And it's from the press conference. So let's listen from the man himself.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He has to say,
I wouldn't say the best off season I've ever had. I definitely had some struggles. I was okay when I was in California. I went back to Florida, and I mean, Kenny would see it firsthand. I would have multiple days where I just kind of not be able to ride, and I was just really just uncomfortable getting used to a new bike. I was saying before this weekend, I'm like, man, I'm kind of bummed it's going to be a mudder, because the progress we made from last week to this week is pretty crazy, and I felt like my normal self leading up into this race. Even last week after A1, I had a really big weight lifted off my shoulders. Being on the podium, obviously, I didn't ride good. And I was pretty far behind Jet at the finish line. But to get that result and not be at one point, I was like, man, we're going to be lucky to be top 10. So it was pretty some dark days in the off season. But like I said, the team getting me comfortable, it's a completely different motorcycle. It feels nothing like what I was on before. And it can be good and bad at some point. We did make some big changes with the forks this week. That was the part I was struggling with, and we were really comfortable on Thursday. I had two of the best days I've had on a KTM, and felt like I was even better than I was last year. I didn't think we'd get here this fast, to be honest. I thought I was going to really have to be patient and just try and work into a good position with the bike, and I knew it was going to take a lot of time. We were testing some big changes the week of Anaheim. So the week before Anaheim, they got me pretty comfortable with the rear of the bike. I was pretty happy with it, but it wasn't complete yet. And this week we did some big changes, and I feel like we're getting really, really close to being we are good, but there's always little small stuff you can make. But I think from here on out, you can yeah, I expect myself to battle. Definitely think I'm in the right headspace and position to battle for wins for the rest of the season.
Dude. Okay. This is crazy. It's going to be long, so spare me the time here, but I take a couple things from that. What he said, he just spilled his guts. He basically, the way that I take this, and maybe I'm not taking it the right way, but he signed with KTM. I mean, he rode the Star bike. He rode the KTM, right? I mean, that's what I heard. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, normally you base your decision on how the bike is. Now, he has been outspoken about the team and having Raj there and having Ian there, and he has a lot of confidence in those guys, and those guys are really good at what they do, some of the best in the business. I have personal experience with it. But it's crazy to me that, I don't know, I've heard a couple things. I heard the bike that he rode before he signed wasn't the same bike that they gave him to ride this year, so they're going back and forth. Now, listen, I'm just passing the trash on what I've heard. I could be completely wrong. Nevertheless, sounds like they were out to lunch with their bike up until this week, and that's gnarly to me. And I think about they were going to take their time, and or they knew it was going to take some time to get to where they needed to be, which is nuts, because I go back to my experience when I left Honda and went to Suzuki. Dude, we were mid-season form at the first round. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't change anything until midway through the season of Supercross RV, like when Chad started to catch some momentum, and we just needed to improve the bike and its performance at that stage because the Yamaha guys did. And that's it's different to me. It's different to me, and I was surprised that they really had all these issues, but now it sounds like they have found something. I heard it was some stuff with the front end maybe. So, I mean, what's your take on it, dude? Like,
I don't know. I'm sitting here listening, and like, definitely spilled his guts up there. About the motorcycle per se, not so much the team. Like you said, it seems like he's happy with the team. Me reading between the lines, I think a lot of what his reservations, just watching this, I think were in his head. I think that he didn't know where he was. I can only go back to, and this isn't personal experience, this is racing somebody, Dunge, leaving Suzuki, going to a manufacturer that hadn't even won a Supercross at that time, let alone a championship, and been in contention for a championship. And Dunge came out. Yeah, I'm sure there was problems with the motorcycle. I'm sure, but he was a podium guy. I look at that thinking, and watching and almost, I say it's more mental on Chase's side. I think that motorcycle has been good. I think they will make it better, and they will make it better for him. But I think a lot of his reservations, if you had to ask me, just watching this, looks like it was coming from him, from the mental side, not really knowing where he was. Did I make the right decision? Was this the right move for me? Can I be the old Chase Sexton from the Honda on this new KTM? I'm sure he had some off days that maybe spiraled or snowballed with, you know, man, I made the wrong decision. Should I have done that? All that stuff kind of comes into play. And as you see, riding with Kenny, kind of same old motorcycle. Kenny's Kenny. He's great. You know, he's moved around on manufacturers, and he's done well on all the manufacturers that he's rode on. So I don't think that they reinvented the wheel before Anaheim 1. I don't think they reinvented the wheel before San Francisco. I think Chase is just in a better headspace. And the pressure is a little bit, you know, the pressure has been relieved after Anaheim 1 because of just all the hype that rolls into Anaheim 1.
So a little fun story for all of our listeners and viewers is I didn't go through the same thing, but when I left Cowie and I went to Honda, they were changing their frame to the next generation, maybe like third generation frame, maybe even fourth by that time, from 01 to 02. And I remember I rode the bike. I rode the 2001 model Honda, and it was right before Dallas Supercross, that week leading up to Dallas Supercross. and they didn't have the O2 model that I was going to be racing. And I remember riding the motorcycle, and this is like, I'm trying to see if this relates to the same thing that Chase was going through. So if Chase rode the bike from last year, KTM, and listen, I don't know exactly what he rode. I'm just for conversation purposes.
Yeah, we're speculating.
Yeah, speculating. And KTM knew that they were having a new chassis that they're rolling out, new platform, but they didn't have it ready for him when he needed to ride it to make his decision and evaluation of who he was going to ride for this season. I remember being here and riding that Honda in 2001, the model, and they're like, hey, you know, the 2002 chassis, it's way better. And, you know, so don't base everything on what you feel today and what you like or may dislike. And I'm like, well, I love this bike. It's just as good as what I'm currently racing on now. And I know in 2002, I'm going to be on the same thing if I choose to stay at Cowie. And so this is already better, and I feel like we can make it even that much better, fine-tune things, and get me more comfortable when we have more time. And so I had there was like a promise on their end, like, hey, what happens if the 2002 model, I don't like that bike. Like, what if it's better? I know you guys are telling me it's better, but what if I ride it's not better than this 2001? Can I use this 2001 chassis in O2? And they're like, yeah, we could talk about it, you know, and it was kind of like a soft promise. So, nevertheless, it's a moot point at this stage because the 2002 chassis, the next generation, was unbelievable. Like, whatever the 2001 didn't do well, the 2002 was a complete fix, and it was just a massive change in the positive direction. So we never had to even go down that road. So I was wondering, like, when he, you know, if Chase, when he wrote it, was it that much better, you know, or was it, you know, did he feel comfortable when he wrote it then, or did, like, because it sounded like he was pretty bummed with how it was performing, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, RV, so put yourself in his shoes. You ride that bike and things like insanely good. You're pretty, mm-hmm. you're going to sign with him, right?
Yeah, sure.
But then how did it get that? How did it, like, after you leave Honda and then you're having a crappy off season, like, the bike didn't get worse, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting to see. I know that, and I never rode for an Austrian brand, but I know the Austrians, they move quite a bit quicker than Japanese brands.
And that's a good quality that they have.
It can be a very good quality. But also, if this was a scenario like you're talking about, maybe 2003 bike was great, and then the updated chassis and version for 2024 wasn't as good, and now they need to fine tune that and get that thing razor sharp, like they at the end of the season when he went and rode the 23 bike, that thing was sharp. That thing had all season raced on it. It had every rock and nook and cranny had been attended to. And now they're starting fresh, right? So on a little bit different chassis or a newer updated chassis. So that could be something that they're dealing with. I personally think that the caliber of these racers should be able to ride anything. But I think what we're seeing a little bit different now is I'm just going to go out on a limb and throw this out there. I was made to ride, and I know you were made to ride, let's be honest, a lot of crap sometimes as an amateur and as coming
not the best, but certainly as an amateur too.
As an amateur, and you learned to be fast on whatever product you had. And I'm not saying these guys don't, but I think what we're seeing in today and the trend that has changed is if the bike is, say, 5% off, these guys, you really see it. Really see the 5% off.
Yeah, where it's not winnable.
The bike was 5% off for me and 5% off for you. Because I know the Cowie that I was riding. I have a Weimer, a teammate that rode it. And he rode multiple manufacturers after the factory Cowie. And he says, by far, it was the worst motorcycle that he had rode. You know, so that being said, I think that we're seeing these guys maybe not be able to adapt to a motorcycle that is 3 to 5% off. And I think maybe that's because the, you know, the, it's, where we're seeing the ceiling of where these guys are right now are so high, that little bit is just making that much of a difference.
Yeah, I'm with you. Check out Boxo USA, boxousa.com. Fantastic company. They make killer tools, a whole bunch of stuff, wide range of tools, lifetime warranty. We talk about it all the time. You just got to go online, check it out. That leads me to the next part about Chase Sexton, the Boxo breakdown of the week. And it was Chase Sexton's start. I commented a little bit about it on the broadcast, but some of these guys, I mean, look at that. The gate's down. He said on his interview on the podium, he's like, I think maybe it was just dumb luck. But I was wondering if it was like some guys count, right? When the 30 card goes sideways and then they count till the gate will count, like if they're dropping it every 7 seconds. I mean, that's nuts, dude. I don't know. Like, it had to be a millisecond. If he had went a millisecond earlier, he would have hit the gate, dude.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be that perfect, what a night to be perfect on is this mud race. Get out front. It just makes your night that much easier. But as you watch him go down the start straight there, the bike got all loose on him because it was super deep. We watched Anderson flip over the bars there, tangle up Mookie. Yeah. Definitely helped. But, I mean, that could have not been a more perfect scenario for him. I mean, look at the reaction time. He moved before anybody else. And Parado is one of the best starters also, and was able to move before he even moved, you know. So
yeah. Eli had a good jump too, but there was no one even close. I mean, watch the reaction time here. We're circling it and highlighting. I mean, dude, he's moving. That is great. That is phenomenal footage right there. I mean, he's –
yeah,
Do you think he's counting there or no?
I don't think he counted. I think it was a perfect storm, honestly. Looking at him, watching the throttle hand right there.
I think that it was an
anticipation worked that time. And as much as we practice starts, I know you've done it. I've done it. You're guessing when the gate's going to drop almost. I've never been a counter.
Me either.
Because – let's be honest, AMA failed. They're supposed to go from anywhere from 3 to 5 seconds, right? So they do it. I don't think they do that 2 second leeway. I think it's within half a second. Gate drops pretty much all night, every night, if you had to ask me. But I think it was just the perfect storm. He anticipated the gate dropping, and it worked out for him. Any sooner, he would have hit the gate.
That's the good stuff there for the Boxo breakdown of the week. I mean, that was just, we had to highlight that. That certainly helped him. I mean, he was riding well, like I said, all day. Great job. Great start, Chase. Hell of a jump. If you could do that again this weekend, you're going to be in a good spot to win. Yeah. Jet Lawrence, we talk about him all the time. I know a lot of the fans, they have their opinions about all of us talk about Jet Lawrence so much. The mud was certainly an equalizer. I was surprised, honestly, that he fell as many times as he did. Maybe his lack of experience in the 450 class at this level has caught up with him. We saw a little chink in the armor. What is your thoughts when you saw this? Did you expect more from him?
Oh man, I think he's got a lot. He's been winning and winning and winning. So it had to come to an end at some point, right? Like you said, the mud is a great equalizer in our racing, and it was tonight, you know. And I think I don't think that this is a big scare factor for Jet, but I do think that it equaled everything out. I mean, now we have a different points leader. Interesting. It doesn't answer any questions for me. It's going to be interesting to see how his rebound is. Actually,
there you go.
Yeah, it's how the rebound is. Yeah, you got Chase with the points lead now. How does he rebound from this mud race? Yeah. It's either going to go – if I throw it out, it can go two ways. It's either he's going to have a major rebound.
And win.
And knowing Jet, he's probably like, hey, it's a mud race. I'm just speaking for him, right? Just off the cuff. Hey, it's a mud race. Things happen. You know, I fell a bunch of times. I'll be different next weekend and I'll come out and win. So it's going to be interesting to see what his rebound is for next weekend at San Diego.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not even going to speculate. We just have to sit back and watch. You know, like, I know you're looking forward to that. I know that that's what I'm looking forward to. He's plenty capable of winning. I think we all know that. Or is he going to implode and try too hard and not perform like what he's capable of? Who knows?
Yep.
And we're just going to have to tune in and watch. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I love what I saw from Eli Tomac. You even said it on the show last week. Wasn't time to panic because of how far he was off of the leader, but he did well. You know, as I thought about it, flying home yesterday, there was that section right after the start. And if you guys remember, he wasn't jumping onto that tabletop. I think there was like a 2-2 and then a single onto a tabletop, and Chase was jumping on there. And dude, he would just absolutely yard Eli in that particular section. And then I felt like Eli would kind of inch his way back on the other parts of the track. And I think that this is so for me personally, I think that this is a great momentum booster and a nice kick for Eli Tomac. Not that I was worried before, but man, going from ninth last week into second, it was a really good points day for him. And even though it was in the mud, I know things are different with the dry, but I think with his experience, him being two-time champ in Supercross, even though it was mud, I think that mentally, I think this was going to be a positive race for him.
I agree with you there. And also too, I think good, call it testing for his Achilles, right? Like you mentioned, talking mud and practicing mud and twisting an ankle and twisting a knee. Those are some gnarly conditions to have because your feet are always down, you know, paddling the ground, easily to twist. So maybe that was a good reassurance for him also that like, hey, my foot didn't bother me out there. I caught it on the ground a couple of times. I had the foot peg hit me from behind. I'm just throwing out scenarios that maybe mentally he's like, hey, I'm my foot is back, you know. I don't have to worry about it because these three little four things that did happen on the track, I was thinking that might hurt my leg or hurt my foot or hurt my Achilles. And none of that happened. Right. So, good confidence booster, I think. And
yeah, you think he continues, to run up front now after this weekend? You think it was a nice shot in the arm, not only for him, but for the team?
I think so. You know, I think San Diego, in the past has
it looks great last year.
Yeah. And it can't, it's a technical track. I believe the dirt, and why I mean a technical is it seems a lot of moisture comes into that stadium. And then it does get a little bit slippery, greasy, hard pack. I think he'll be strong next weekend.
Dude, Kenny, no surprise there. Actually too. Kenny came from a long ways back. He had actually the whole shot. He was in front of Chase for a split second and he stalled it, on top of that tabletop. And, you could watch the post race, podium and he talks about it. He was pretty bummed with himself and, dude, had he not stalled it, he would have been certainly a contender for the win. But Kenny did great. This is not a surprise to me. I don't think it is to you, RV. The guy knows how to ride the mud. He's been at it for a long time and another great ride, not only for Kenny, but dude, that whole HEP team, Suzuki team, Shane McElrath, he did great. Fourth place. They got their bikes working well in the mud. But this doesn't surprise me from a guy like McElrath. It's easy to forget, but dude, this guy contended for championships, in the 250, regional division. So it was cool to see not only just for Shane, but that whole, HEP team. Sometimes they get beat up. I know it's a feel good story when they do well, but, this team's good. They got some great personnel, with some winning history. And I was happy for that whole team and program, dude.
Yeah, no, Shane rode well and to get up on, to knock down a fourth. I mean, major veteran, you know, and that's what one thing, like we talked about, the mud's a great equalizer, gives, you know, it's somebody like Shane to get a little bit of a confidence booster and get that fourth. I think he's a top 10 guy, most of these races, you know, so we'll see. Hopefully that, like you said, gives these guys a little, shot in the arm.
Jason Anderson. So we talk about Jason Anderson, and this kind of segues to, so Dunlop Tires, we got a new partner. We're so pumped to have them on. We were talking about them before we came on, dude. They got some great people working there. Brian Fleck, for example. You can share some stories with him, but nevertheless, Dunlop works great. Hell, I've been riding Dunlops since I was on mini bikes. So they're a great company, been around a long time. They got a great crew that works extremely hard. And like I said, they're going to be engaged and given some product out as we get the program set up. So that leads us to the next part and kind of like the Dunlop due diligence stage. I reached out to Brock Tickle because I thought it was weird, like when Anderson crashed, and we have some video of that, I believe. If we do, let's roll it. So here you go. Here's Jason Anderson. This is the main event, and he's going through. Watch, it's hard to see from there, but he just gets blasted with mud. Well, watch, you see, he'll take his hand off, and he goes to pull. See right there? He goes to pull a tear off, and as he does that, like, what happened? Looks like the brakes just stuck, and he goes over the handlebars, collecting a couple riders, and then Malcolm Stewart, he hits the down rider. He goes down, just wrong place, wrong time. But I talked to Tickle this morning, doing my due diligence, and BT's like, he says after they watched the replay a million times because they thought possibly it was the lockdown device, the starting device, but he hit a soft spot. He hit a soft spot in the track when he was pulling his tear off. And as that happened, boom, he goes over the handlebars. So I hate that for Jason, just because I think he was in a great spot points wise. He still is. But that stung a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah. The first turn was gnarly. I mean, we just watched the replay of Jason going over the bars. In that mud, same thing with Chase, almost the same thing. Barsha, I don't know if we have the slow-mo of Barsha's, but slow-mo on Peacock was insane. It's tough. You come in there, you get blasted with water, you reach for a tear off, and then you end up just getting swamped there. It, really nothing you can do other than I would have, okay, ride blind for longer and keep your hands on the bars, and maybe that wouldn't have happened. Right. So it's tough. It's being in that position. You can see all the water. It's just
because nothing he could do.
Yeah. There's nothing you really can do. You know, like if you go back and you watch a video 100 times, tell me, I mean, the only thing different you could have done was get the whole shot and be in Chase's position. Right. And hopefully get through the first turn. It was a treacherous first turn right there.
It's going to be fun to go to San Diego this week. Our producer, I don't like the tone that he has today on us. RV being negative, saying there's more rain expected in San Diego.
I just looked it up.
Come on, guys.
Sunday. It's saying Sunday. Maybe chance of showers. Saturday's looking somewhat. It's looking clear. What's to say? 5%. Maybe
there's a 95% chance it's not going to rain.
Exactly. So we're going to err on the happy side of no rain. But like I mentioned, San Diego does get a lot of that moisture blowing in. Dirt's a little bit harder. So it's going to be a technical track.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I still feel like we're at the beginning of the series too. I need like 3 or 4 more good dry races to where I can get a better feel on who I think is, I mean, they're all legit, right? But I still don't feel like we've gotten a true representation of who is who and what's going to happen on several good racing condition situations. That That's my opinion, dude.
It's very early. It is very early. Anaheim 1, like we've always talked about, a lot of hype. Everybody loves to win Anaheim 1, but Anaheim 1 is Anaheim 1. And then we had a major mud race for round 2. So, yeah, to your point, I wouldn't say we have anybody. Yes, I wouldn't say we have anybody that's just a runaway. Oh, Jet's going to run away with this, or, you know, Chase is going to do this or whatever. It's very, very, very up in the air still. Eli hasn't caught his stride yet, I don't feel. So it's going to be some really good racing coming up here. And I think we'll see what you're looking for probably around. I mean, I always say it's everybody as past champions. We always use Daytona as our reference. The series really doesn't start till Daytona, because if you're in it at Daytona within a few points or in the championship fight at Daytona, that's kind of when it rolls over into, okay, here's your stretch on the way out, and this is where things really get tough, because that's where you really got to start digging.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Is after Daytona.
If you haven't, check out United Motorsports. This is going to lead us to something that I think was really cool. United Motorsports moment of the week. Check out unitedmotorsports.com. If you're in the Ohio, Kentucky area, they got 6 locations throughout those 2 states. They're doing a one-time deal. Sign up and you can get a $15 credit. If you sign up, to UnitedMotorsports/title24, I believe it is. And they're picking also, I believe it's every week, they're giving away $50 to one lucky winner of the people who sign up. So make sure you get in on that. That is right. Every week, I said it. You are hearing correctly. $50. They're going to pick a lucky winner to whoever signs up. So $75 credit to your purchase. So United Motorsports moment of the night. I think the guy did awesome. It's only his second Supercross, and it's Jorge Prado. I think that, you know, when it's a mud, I've said it a million times, RV, it's an equalizer. And if I'm Jorge Prado, I am absolutely stoked when I see the rain. I'm assuming that he has spent a lot of time in these type conditions, obviously on outdoor tracks, but nevertheless, the guy can ride. He's a 3-time GP champ, 2 times MX2, 1-time MXGP class. And I like it. I think I want to see him more. I think that this will light his fire, and it's going to be fun to see. What did you think? Was this, did you expect this? Were you not expecting this? I mean, like, what's your analysis on it?
I mean, I think right off the bat, for sure, it's, I think they ride those conditions more than we do in Europe. So honestly, I think it solidifies him coming over here. He gets a heat race win, second try. You know, that's huge for him to be able to do that second try. He rode phenomenal at Anaheim 1. So what I look back to see, yeah, he's only, I think he's only here for one more round.
Right.
He planned on doing three. Maybe that changes. Maybe it doesn't. But
you said you were claiming fifth to eighth before the season started.
That's what I claimed. Yeah. And what did I think Anaheim 1 was? What did he end up? Ninth?
No, 10th? I think he was. Was he 13th? Maybe
13th. Okay, but he ran up, maybe 11th, something like that. I say if he was here for the whole season, I'm saying by the end, by halfway, we're gonna see that man up anywhere from fifth through eighth, majority of the time. But nonetheless, I think that solidifies him coming over here.
I think it does.
I think he did phenomenal Anaheim 1 for. And remember, guys, this guy is 22 years old. He's young, right?
Yeah, dude.
And a lot of guys that come from Europe, they start in the lights class. It was like me going from here and then going over to Europe in the 450 class. If I would have went into the lights class and had some time to grow and learn and all that, like he's stepping into the big dogs, into the show right now. And what I'm seeing is phenomenal from him. So I think it solidifies him coming over for next year. I think he wants to be here. I think it is one of the biggest shows in the world for two wheel motorsports. At least in our realm is Supercross, man. So, and we know he can ride. I think that's the biggest question from the Europeans is how is he going to fare in Supercross? Because we know they can ride outdoors. We know that's what they're specialists mm-hmm. at. They're not specialists in Supercross. Well, he has just shown the world plus himself that he has the skills to learn this and also just to come out and do well, pretty well right off the bat. So at a young age, I think he's got lots of building to do and he's got lots of time to be that much better.
Great stuff. Dude, RV, I mean, you kill it all the time, but you're not leaving me with any words to say, which kind of nice, dude. I get it. That's your United Motorsports moment of the night. I love that. I hope that solidified Prado coming. I think it's great for the sport. The more racers, athletes we can have come from different countries would be epic. And yep. What I love about it, like when you talk to him and stuff, dude, you can just tell he's living his dream. And that's cool to see. So thank you very much, United Motorsports, for everything. Like I said, make sure you guys go check it out, unitedmotorsports.com/title24. Sign up, save $15 or get a $15 credit. And then maybe you'll be one of the lucky winners who gets a $50 gift card. Nice. All right. So we got we have another question, fan question, and it's pertaining to Hunter Lawrence. And sorry for I'm probably going to mess up this name. Reisinger MX713 asks, why was Hunter allowed to skip the whoops? Well, he's not allowed to skip the whoops, obviously, but you can watch right here. He goes a little sideways. He's dabbing like that clearly was not on purpose.
No,
he takes his time. He doesn't grab a handful of throttle. He looks back. He's just chilling right here. So number one, Reisinger MX713. No one's allowed to do that. He didn't grab a handful of throttle. And that's probably why he was not penalized because of that. They review it, right? Go for it.
Yeah, I think that what I saw it twice. I saw him go off the – I don't know if it was the same race twice. I think it was. Afterwards, they had taken the whoops out, and that wasn't a factor
anymore.
Yeah,
it was twice in the heat race. It was.
Same thing. You know, he didn't go fast. You can see he went off the track. It is what it is. I think in those conditions –
you get a pass as long as you're not an idiot. Like and go like wide open, like you guys see if you're watching, you can see right there, dude. He's just absolutely chilling now. Had he went off, not pulled a tear off, and just completely gassed her up, then there's probably going to be a penalty. But he didn't. He did the right thing. He chopped the throttle. Obviously, he had to gas it going through the mud, but then he slows down, looks back, makes sure he gets on or doesn't cut in front of anyone. I mean.
Scenario would have been different if you would have had a guy right on him and then he went off the track and then I think you would have
yep
I don't know if you would have AMA necessarily penalizing him, but you'd probably have a protest. If you had somebody, if they were like bar to bar battling and then he goes off the track and then that happens. It just all depends too, because as a racer, you go off the track like that in the mud like that. I mean, I don't know. Is he going to let the guy by? I think they would have had a protest. That's why it's different. Nobody was around him. Yes, Frandis was in front of him. It looked like
he didn't gain an advantage.
Didn't gain any advantage, and he came out, if anything, lost time. So
yeah, that's why. So Mike Peltier from the AMA gave us that information. However, they did dock Vince Freeze in the heat race and Barcia in the last chance qualifier. I guess Freeze. Freezy, he cut the track. I didn't see that. I don't remember seeing it, but it doesn't matter at this point because he pushed his bike off in that last chance.
Oh, that rap sheet looks longer.
It does, dude. Hey, and to all of our people listening and watching, I saw you keyboard warriors just giving me the business, sticking up for RV and his take. So that's why I replied, and I said that the angle of – I didn't like the angle of Freeze's first corner incident last week. I should have been more specific, so I'll take the blame on that. But you guys – dude, you guys gassed me so hard. So take it easy on your boy, man. Like, I'm sensitive. RV was loving it. I wish all you guys could see the back and forth and – trust me, we get up on here, we screenshot some stuff. So all right, also you know, with that question and about Hunter, I think if I don't even think we would have gotten that question, RV, if, you know, like there's obviously a lot of hype around Hunter. If that was someone else, that they wouldn't, if that was McElrath and he went off a couple of times, I bet no one would have said anything, right?
No.
Double standards real these days, you know? All right, dude, you had some thoughts on the 250 before we got to the recording today. Jordan Smith, he's never done well in the mud as a professional. Not surprising to me that he did as well as he did, rode as well as he did. I know that he hasn't had a lot of great success in the mud as a professional, but still the guy's been in it for what, like 10 years in the 250 class. So he looks like clearly he was able to lean on things from years experience in the past. Great job, Jordan Smith. He's a red plate holder now. So what's your takeaways from the 250, Kitchen, Jordan, what do you think, brother?
Yeah, no, Jordan rode well, put himself in a good position. You know, so survival of the fittest. He was able to keep that motorcycle upright, and honestly, that's in those conditions, that's kind of what you need. I think I just watched the lights or the 250 race again this morning. Levi came through the pack quite, you know, from a little ways back, it seemed like. And at the finish line there was pretty close to Jordan. So
he was,
I'd say out of the four that we have on our list today, I think Levi was the most impressive, was able
really?
To, yeah, I think
that
where he started, I think lap one, mm-hmm. To where he finished, I mm-hmm. thought that was a good confidence booster for him. Like I said, I know Levi fairly well.
Hey, you gave him the business last week. You needed to see more out of him.
Yeah, see right there, he got pretty close to Jordan there. So I think that's a good confidence booster for him. I know he had said that he's not much of a mud rider, or you know, even from the Northwest. I think everybody prefers not to ride in the mud. So,
All right. Well, dude, come on. Wait, what do you expect of him in San Diego on a good track? What do you expect?
I'm expecting Levi to, he has to stay in this championship hunt, man. I'm expecting him to be back on the podium. If not, he needs to get a race win. Levi needs to get, I mean, we're 5 points out. You know, Jordan Smith with 47 total points. and you know, Levi five out, and RJ with that's nine out of the lead. So a really close battle there. Still, you know, bummer for Joe Shimoda.
Smoking Joe.
Bike did not
that
finish,
sucks, dude. What? That's crazy. You know, it's crazy. So I talked to someone yesterday, no one from Honda, but someone really close to Honda, and they don't know what happened, really. I mean, dude, that
looks
that's
like it's running still. So it's still running.
I was talking about the clutch. There's no way you smoke the clutch that quick.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It was within two laps, right? Or it was first couple laps of the main event, and who knows? You know, so that's a big bummer on his part.
Yeah, especially from the champion. Especially from a championship, you know. Yeah, I mean, these regional Supercross championships, you start coughing up 20 points, 25 points, it's game over for the most part. So, Joe, I mean, RV, tell me if I'm wrong. Dude, he's going to have to go out. He's going to have to win multiple rounds.
100%. And maybe that's, you know, as we've seen in the past and we've talked about it on the show, Joe's start to his seasons have not been that well. And if that's a pressure situation this was not necessarily, was not his fault. This was the bike, you know, just having some issues and not finishing. But yes, now does this take the pressure off of him to then just go out and knock down wins?
I personally feel like from a championship standpoint, RV, I feel like it takes the pressure off. But I think it's added pressure now to go out and have to win if you want to win the championship. So it's like a double-edged sword, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So bummer there for Joe, but we'll see what we'll see if he can rebound and get back up there. And RJ Hampshire, right? He seemed like he was riding pretty good main event. Had the fall. Here we have him on the start here, watching the replay. Juju just had a bar length on him. Had enough to, and he did get a little off balance. And this is where he fell too.
Yeah, he got hosed right there. Burden. He goes down. And then really there was nowhere for RJ to go. We talked about it on the broadcast and just lost his momentum. One of the worst places you can absolutely crash is on the up ramp of a jump. And then he goes down again.
And yeah, it's such a bummer too when you get your gloves and your grips that dirty. If anything could be invented for mud racing, it's something to do with your gloves and your grips. But definitely makes it, you know, not the race he wanted, but as we just saw points. He's not far out.
He's
still
not
in championship contention. Mm-hmm. I do think that RJ will rebound, and I think in the end he's going to be one of the guys that are fighting for this championship.
One last one on the 250. Super bum for Max Voland, dude. I think he was podium guy for sure. Hated to see this. I thought maybe that he burned his clutch out because when we were on the broadcast, I could hear him when he's trying to stay in front of Burden. He was on the clutch pretty hard. But I was told yesterday, like four laps from this point, like they rolled his bike backwards and something was maybe caught up in the countershaft sprocket, but that doesn't seem right.
No, it looks like he's pushing it right now.
Maybe I got bad information.
It's interesting. I mean, you never know until they tear those things apart. I know Ryder V's bike expired too, I think. On lap one, I believe.
Serious?
Yeah. So, you know, they're getting as much horsepower, and these are highly tuned machines, and you put that much water and that much mud, I mean, anything's bound to happen. That's why racing in these conditions it's so prestigious at the end of the year when you can look back and see the ups and downs in the circumstances that these riders go through.
Like Cliff White at Honda used to tell me, like, we had these real killer carbon silencers, right? They were made of light material, like the aluminum and stuff was, and they'd crack after about 2 weeks. And he would always tell me they're made to perform, they're not made to last. So a lot like to your point, RV, they're getting every little inch they can. And horsepower, you know, like the 250 class, is it's a horsepower class for sure.
Yes, it is.
And so
it
they're is. They're getting every little thing they can out of it, which reminds me of Garrett Marchbanks and Phil Nicoletti.
Fantastic. Oh, dude, I was so bummed.
Where you wanted Phil to get up.
I wanted Filthy Phil to get on the podium, dude. I was so bummed he didn't get on the podium.
Right. Carson Mumford, he rode really well. He crashed, came back, and he still finished fairly decent, well inside the top 10. So great to see Carson Mumford do that. That's Phil. This really really screwed up Phil's opportunity at a podium. He got hung up behind a lapper. There is really nowhere that he could go. He could probably have tried to go around him, but then would have possibly fell. So we're watching Garrett Marchbanks make that podium pass. Yeah, I'm with you. I wanted Phil to get that podium. He talked about it afterwards, like he's getting older, not sure how many more opportunities he's going to get at a podium finish. So I was bummed for him too, dude.
That's the second time the podium has eluded him. I think last year there was a rare SMX. Maybe there was a potential podium for Filthy, and it got away from him too. So come on, Phil. We're rooting for you, buddy.
Good job, though, to that Club MX Muckoff FXR Yamaha team, dude. They're doing great. I know that the Monster Energy Yamaha Star Racing program gets a lot of credit on the Yamaha side of things, but that Club MX team is working hard. So congratulations on third and fourth.
And Ricky, before we get into our say goodbyes and stuff, promos, let's talk about the Title 24 live show here in two weeks before Anaheim 2 Thursday.
That's right. So it's going to be Thursday. We will be giving out details, but RV and I are going to have a live Title 24 show before the last Anaheim. It's going to be Thursday night, the 25th. We're excited about it. It's going to be fun, very intimate, semi-private. We're going to be selling tickets. You won't want to miss it. It's going to be in Costa Mesa, really close, right by John Wayne Airport. And we're looking forward to it, just to kind of give back. There'll be dinners. There's going to be a dinner, cocktails.
It'll be good. It'll be intimate, like you said. We'll do. We'll get up there myself and you, Ricky, and do some bench racing before Anaheim 2. Questions from the fans, and honestly, go out and it'll be a time where for you fans to get to interact with myself and Ricky with a couple cocktails with no stress, no pressure situation. Those are the best time that you can have access to us, because call it we're working, but we're really not working, right?
Some cocktails,
we're having a good time. So stay tuned. Make sure you, when we get all the information up, you get your tickets, and hope to see everybody there.
Yeah, so it's going to be Thursday again, January 25th. It's going to be at 6 p.m. in Costa Mesa. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have a steak dinner, some desserts, a little DJ. There'll be championship bikes there and some vintage bikes. It's a really cool location. For tickets, you can text Rich Lane at 310-704-1823. And text Rich. Get after him, get some tickets. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. Like I said, it's going to be very intimate, and get some behind the stage access. And I'm looking forward to it. I've been on the wagon since I had that little hiccup, if you will. I don't know. I might have to call up Mayo Clinic and be like, "Can I have a hall pass for this night?" So, but it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. This is the first live show that we've done. So we will continue to give you some updates on that. Before we get to our goodbyes, let's give you the 411 on what's happening on NBC this week. There you go. The Dakar Rally stage highlights daily, 7:30 p.m. on Peacock. Super easy. And remember, like we always talk about on Thursdays, make sure you listen to Weege and Jason Thomas. That's on YouTube, the SMX Insider Show. They're always bringing stuff from the past weekend and what to look forward to this weekend. Then Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, race day live, practice and qualifying. That'll be on Peacock. And then, of course, the show starts racing 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. San Diego. That'll be live on Peacock. And then Sunday at 1:25 p.m. IMSA's back. WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. The row before the 24 and qualifying will be live on Peacock. Looking forward to that. Lee Diffie and I will be in the booth this weekend, so that'll be a fun. There's all your 411 for motorsports on NBC. San Diego this week, Snapdragon. It's another right-hand start RV, and you talked about this when we were baiting. There's the track right there. You talked about the dirt, how that's going to be challenging. And we got a right-hand start. You said that this is going to be something that the riders are going to have to continue to adapt to and get used to. What do you think of this track from your initial look of it outside of the dirt conditions?
I like it. It looks like you're going to have to, you know, set some guys up. I like how they come back across the start.
Yeah, those fast sections. Yeah.
Yeah, it opens up for some passing, a little bit different line selections. Hopefully it's not, you know, super one line. But, yeah, the right-hand start, we're going to see it again. Like I had said, I think show one, it's something we don't see. These guys will get better at it. They will learn it. This looks like it's more of a, it's a hard 180 at the end. So you're not going to have the ability to just chop somebody off. To me, if I'm looking at the starting line, I'm going to be up on the inside. Yep. If not gate one, anywhere from one through five gates, control that inside. Cause it comes up tight. Guys are going to rush
that hairpin.
Yeah. Guys are going to rush in and think they have control and they're going to blow out to the berm. They're going to leave the inside open.
Yeah.
Stu was always really good at that. Being able to all of a sudden sneak around the inside.
Yeah.
You know, when you thought, man, I got the whole shot, here I go. And here he's on the inside. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate all the interaction and the engagement. Certainly got to a lot more fan questions and put it in our kind of breakdown. So that was great, dude. You guys are flooding it. We appreciate it. It's so much fun. And even if you're gassing me, I still like it. I got thick skin and it's fun. So we appreciate all of the love. Remember, you can listen to us on all the platforms of your podcast. Thank you, United Motorsports, Boxo USA, Quadlock Case, and our new partner, Dunlop Tires. Excited about that. Thanks for joining in. It's going to be good. Remember, like we talked about, if you can't watch us, you can always listen to us on our podcast, the audio versions on all podcast platforms. And then we are on demand on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page and, of course, Peacock. So we're on demand on Peacock as well. So awesome. If you want to watch us, you can watch us in those two locations. We would appreciate that. Remember to leave your comments and questions for the show. We'll do our best to obviously get back to you guys. So, RV, are you going to San Diego?
I think I am going to go to San Diego. I think it's 50 years, right? I think it's 50 years of...
Yeah, it's a throwback race. It's a throwback race.
I heard it's going to be a throwback race. So, yes, I will be at San Diego.
Sweet. All right. I'm looking forward to it. We will continue to post details where you can get your tickets for the live show. Again, that's Thursday the 25th, right before Anaheim 2, the Anaheim pre-party, Title 24. You ain't going to want to miss out. You're going to get to see Curly, JH. He's co-producer. And then you're going to get to see Richie Lane, the broker. He'll be there. And of course, you're going to get to spend some fun time with RV and I. A lot of fun. We appreciate everyone tuning in every week as always, and we'll see you next week.
Start clean with Clorox because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because
hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.